is back with what you like. Music and patter and Dick Van Dyke.
More of Flair now, and this is Dick Van Dyke back to bring it to you. And we'll be hearing from Eva Gabor, Bonnie Pruden, Charlotte Lord, Doris Day, Keeley Smith, and Edie Gourmet. Keeping them company will be Charlie Weaver, the Corn Belt Casanova. Speaking of lovers, here's that lover of children, Boris Karloff.
Mothers, if your little monsters are frightening to you, let Boris Karloff tell you just exactly what to do.
This is Boris Karloff with some interesting and authoritative suggestions this time on the subject of teaching a small child safety. Telling a youngster that he's precious to you, that it would pain you to see him hurt, is more effective in teaching safety than vague warnings about possible dangers. That's the advice of Dr. Bruce W. Everest, chairman of the Committee on Accident Prevention of the American Academy of Pediatrics. The problem is, says Dr. Everest, that children often interpret these warnings as threats of punishment for their own incompetence and worthlessness. In other words, they think you don't trust them. Also, youngsters respond much more readily to specific instructions than to sweeping statements such as, "Be careful or you'll fall." Now, for instance, a six-year-old who has never climbed a ladder should be shown the safe way before he attempts it. We cannot, of course, protect our children from all possible hazards. Dr. Everest sums up the situation this way. Our job, he says, is to help them put the odds on their side.
Cuts are gonna shine. So let's listen while they mix their dazzle with a little razzle.
They just because to rock my hair is curly.
Curly hair.
Just because
to rock
my teeth are pearly.
Pearly teeth too.
Just because always wear a smile. Like to dress up, babe, right in the latest style. Cause I'm glad I'm living. I always take my troubles with a great big smile.
Folks, we're shining to you. Everybody's gonna holler to you. You will make that whole world shine. You will make that.
Fitness expert Bonnie Pruden has a massage for your saddlebags. That's what you get under your eyes from watching too many TV westerns.
Bonnie Pruden will keep you slim from brim to rim and keep you looking trim for him. So Bonnie Pruden, show us how to shake a limb.
Men don't usually get fat on the thighs, but women after two, three, four kids, they get what we call saddlebags. You know, on the outside of the thigh looks just horrible. And you think, well, my Aunt Maud had it, so I've got it, so this is the price I'm paying. You don't have to pay that price. That comes from tension, and this, too, is that fibrositis we were talking about, a thickening. And it's not fat, and it's certainly not muscles. Wilma Rudolph has muscles in the thighs, and if you've ever seen slimmer thighs, I don't know where. This is junk. It's fibrositis. It's thickened muscle fiber, and you have to get rid of it. So sit down on the floor and knead it like it was bread. It's the toughest bread you ever kneaded, I'll tell you. And if it hurts and if it dimples when you knead it, you have it. You need more of the kneading. So get down and work as hard as you can on all around, though be a little more gentle. And this is the point where you can really chew it to pieces yourself. Then do the exercises. You know the old-fashioned twist? It's now old-fashioned. It's been with us a year or two. Turn the left leg all the way in, then all the way out. And do it to music. In and out and in and out. Then do the other leg. And do it for the length of a record. That'll be about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, changing legs all the time. And intersperse deep knee bends. Keep the feet together and the knees together and go all the way down and all the way up. And you can go slowly as you like. As a matter of fact, the slower you go, the harder it is, the better it is. And if you can't get down and get back up, hold on to a table. Eventually you will. So knead it and then exercise it.
Smith sings about being too young.
They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard, but can't begin to know the meaning of.
Leighton asked Eva Gabor to define glamour. Noah Webster might be more accurate, but he's a pretty dull interview.
Joe Leighton's Hollywood, home of the stars, land of Jacks and Jill so hip, Beverly Hills and Sunset Strip, platinum pools and 24-carat cars.
With us this afternoon is Eva Gabor, the most beautiful and talented of the Gabor sisters.
After this introduction, I don't think I have to say anything more. It's beautiful. Thank you.
You've just finished your role in A New Kind of Love.
Yes, yes.
As one of the leading exponents of love, Miss Gabor.
That's a funny thing to say.
What
you
is,
think I am?
Yes. What is A New Kind of Love?
Well, a new kind of love, if I would tell you, I would have to tell you the whole story of the picture, and it would take much too long a time. But it's a lovely, sweet comedy, which I think people will adore seeing. I really do.
Miss Gabor, one other question I've always wanted to ask you. I've never had a chance to ask Zsa Zsa because we always talk about other things. But as one of the more glamorous women, what would be your definition of glamour?
Well, mine always is that it comes from within. It is, you know, if you go to a party and you see women who are really not as beautiful as girls are around, and she has all the men around her, that's glamour. Because it comes from within, because they're amusing and they're alive and they're gay. And all these ingredients is put together. Of course, it doesn't hurt if you're a little good-looking, too. But it comes really from within, I think.
Well, a more simple explanation of glamour is Eva Gabor.
Thank you so much.
This is Joe Layton in Hollywood reporting for Flair.
Sinatra, the guy they modeled the Space Needle after.
Your sweet expression, the smile you gave me, the way you looked when we met. It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. So I must dream to have your hand caress me, fingers press me tight. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feel stealing through the night. Moment is clear before me, and though it brings me regret, it's easy to remember, and so
financial expert Charlotte Lord says big business is like running a home.
Charlotte Lord has a timely hint on the use of that product of the U.S. Mint.
Running a large business is just like running a home. They're both eager to find new ways to save money, as well as improve their methods of operation. Often, a standard product is used in place of one made to order. For one of their processes, an electronics company saves over $4,000 annually by now using conventional ladies' hair clips instead of especially made aluminum ones that were much more costly. To protect jet engines, an aeronautics company uses children's plastic wading pools, costing $3 each. And until a year ago, they were paying $57 apiece for custom-made ones. The field of testing also offers many unusual uses for products. For example, Lockheed Aircraft uses ping pong balls to fill empty spaces in airplane wings before sending them for air pressure tests. And still another organization makes use of baseballs to test the strength of cellophane. They used to use potatoes, but that got a bit messy, plus having to be replaced frequently. Even the family standby, Milk of Magnesia, has found its way into industry. General Electric employs it to lubricate precision machine parts. Cost-conscious companies are always on the lookout for new ways of doing things and ready to economize. Wouldn't you say that big business was homemaking on a larger scale? This is Charlotte Lord for Flair.
Doris Day is one of the few Hollywood stars who has never gone on TV. In fact, she knows so little about it, she probably thinks Open End is a medical show.
Fun may be fun, but it's not when the one that you love has gone. I try to sleep, but the counting of sheep goes on and on. Without your kiss, I just cannot exist from the night till dawn. Lover, 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 come back. You had me where I was walking on air, never touched the ground. Now I have learned there's a torch to be burned since you're not around. I'm gonna place an ad in the space under lost and found. Lover, lover, lover. Lover, 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 lover. Come on back. Come on back. Lover, come back.
Charlie Weaver tells how well-dressed people in Mount Ida are. Of course, next to Charlie, Emmett Kelly would look like Bull Brummel.
Mount Ida Charlie Weaver is our guest on Flair. We're very lucky having him on the air. Listen carefully to everything that Charlie has to say, cause at any moment they may come and take him away.
This is Charlie Weaver for Flair. You may know folks like the ones in Mount Ida, but that's your problem. They're always eager to listen to your troubles. And that's the only way they get their gossip. Mount Ida folks are always well-dressed. Even their bathing suits come down to their ankles. Gomar Kool is the best-dressed man in Mount Ida, and why not? He knows where to get his clothes. Now, you heard of these places where you walk up two flights to save? Well, Gomar goes up three flights and steals. Hey, Ludlow Bean's a very neat dresser, and I mean neat. He even presses his shoelaces. Of course, Ludlow knows how to dress, but he's just too cheap. I can still remember his wedding when everyone tied shoes to the back of his car, and he sat there trying them on. Oh, Leonard Box sends to Italy for all his suits. I know they're Italian suits. They have pizza stains on them. Leonard's a real continental type. He wears tight pants and shoes to match. Yeah, these are my people. Yeah, they always like to be in style. It's just too bad their clothes aren't. Some of them are still wearing the wide lapels and the baggy pants. But the Mount Ida women feel comfortable wearing them.
Thanks, Charlie.
Mr. Basil Rathbone, next on Flair, is gonna tell you the whys and hows of the breeding and the feeding and the care of pets. From the doggy bark,
arf, arf,
to the cat's meow,
meow.
This is Basil Rathbone for Flair. Knowing as I do that there's probably not an animal that hasn't been kept as a pet at one time or another, I don't feel amiss in telling you today how to give your pet tiger a pedicure. You may not own a tiger, but who knows? You may find one on your doorstep tomorrow, so it's best you prepare yourself now for any eventuality. When it comes to cutting toenails on a tiger, I can give you an example that occurred not long ago to a tigress at the Bronx Zoo in New York. As you can well imagine, it's quite an operation. The operating team consisted of one veterinarian, a nurse, and four assistants. The tigress's toenails were severely ingrown on her right front paw, even to the extent of curving back and growing into her pads. Naturally, the toenail team couldn't tackle such a delicate job while the tigress was able to defend herself. Thanks to the marvels of science, they were able to go to work without worrying about whether she would hold her pinkies up without animosity by using a pistol loaded with a syringe containing a tranquilizing drug, which was shot into the animal's flank. They were able to put it to sleep. Then, using bone cutters instead of nail clippers, the doctor snipped off an inch and a half from each nail, treated the cut pads with antibiotics, and beat a careful retreat. Now, you may not have a tiger, but may I remind you cat owners that cutting the toenails of a cat is also a delicate operation, one that's best handled by a veterinarian.
Everyone singing Elmer's tune. Everyone except Elmer, that is. He retired a long time ago on the royalties.
Why are the stars always winking and blinking above? What makes a fella start thinking of falling in love?
It's not the season, the reason is plain as the moon. It's just Elmer's tune.
What makes a lady of 80 go out on the loose? Why does a gander meander in search of a goose?
What puts the kick in a chicken, the magic in June? It's just Elmer's tune.
Listen, listen. There's a life we're liable to be missing.
Sing it, swing it.
This week, physical fitness expert Bonnie Pruden is recommending counterattacks on those areas of your body which tend to become too fast vast. Yesterday, she advanced to the midriff. Today, she's going to retreat to the rear.
Bonnie Pruden has the answer to the riddle.
How to keep slim and how to keep trim and how to keep fit as a fiddle.
If you don't like the size and the shape of your seat, change it. You see, a seat is a dead giveaway. You know, if it sort of squishes when you walk, it's too soft. If you wear a girdle and it doesn't squish but doesn't move at all, then it's just too much of it inside a girdle. So there's something to be done about it. The first thing to do is to massage and to disturb that fat that's so happy there. Oddly enough, tension attacks the seat. You see, you tighten the muscles getting ready to... You can't go anywhere, but you do tighten the muscles to run away. And therefore, you keep them constantly under a little pressure and they get thick. It isn't just fat. You know, that it isn't just... If it were only fat, you'd have much less trouble getting rid of it. If you notice, when you go on a diet, the fat comes off of your face and every place else, but it comes very rarely does it come off of the seat in a hurry. So get down. Now, it's very hard to do this pinching massage on a seat because it's hard to get around there. Ideally, you go and you pay somebody else to do it for you. But if you've got to do it yourself, put your foot up on the bathtub edge and then reach around and grab hold of whatever large lump is there that you don't care for and knead it. Knead it just as hard as you can. Now, if you have fibrositis, and most people do, it will hurt. And that hurt is perfectly all right. It's allowable. There's nothing in the medical literature that says you'll get cancer or anything else. You might get a bruise, in which case you need it even more. Just be a little gentler at first. Now, knead it, annoy it, and then do the exercise knee to nose. You get down on all fours and bring your knee to your nose and then stretch it out and back and bring your head up and in and out and in, eight on each side.
To be you, and it's going to be Vic Damone to sing it for you.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody else. To be you, wonderful you, it had to be you.
To Flare, a worldwide presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.